Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn on this 12th of October 2015 as we discuss the world of sports. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn as we wrap up a NFL Week 5, of course, tonight. In roughly about 45 minutes, you have Steelers and Chargers. Steelers trying to go 3-2. Chargers trying to go to 3-2 as well. Get to call up with the baseball real quick. Toronto forces a game 5, 8-4 at Texas. Despite that, David Price got rocked again. Gave up three runs, 50 pitches. So that does not bode well for Toronto moving forward. But if you're a Toronto fan, you're just happy to be going back home to a game five, having a game five at your building come Wednesday. Also earlier today, Kansas City had another miraculous comeback. It's what they've done. We've seen them done over the last postseason, in particular last postseason with these comebacks. They were down 6-2. They had a big eighth inning and went on to win 9-6. Again, they forced another game five as well against the Houston Astros, who seemingly had this game well in hand. 6-2 eighth inning in your home ballpark. Correa's going crazy. He went 4-for-4, but it was not enough as Kansas City again went crazy in the eighth inning to force that series back to Kansas City and back to a decisive game five. St. Louis and Chicago are tied at 2. The big story in this game is Addison Russell, one of a boatload of young, talented players from Chicago, got injured on a triple. He's out of the game now. We don't know how serious it is, but right now they are tied at 2 with St. Louis and Chicago. So there you go. And, of course, tonight, in about an hour or so, we'll have a much-anticipated Game 3 between the Mets and Dodgers. First time since 2006, since Adam Wainwright and Carlos Beltran, that the Mets have had a home game in the postseason. That's, of course, that 2006 NLCS. Nobody will never forget that. As you know, when Wainwright basically froze Carlos Beltran as St. Louis was headed towards a world championship, and the Mets have not been back to the postseason since, but they are back now. They split two games in L.A., and now they have their horse on the mound in the Dark Knight, and Matt Harvey going with this Brett Anderson. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, you have to like the Mets' chances in this game going, with their one of their ace pitchers. But if the Dodgers get to that bullpen before Familia, then the Mets are going to be in a lot of trouble. So again, 2-2, top of the fifth, St. Louis, Chicago all tied up. As finally somebody has gotten to Jake Arrieta, couple of Peralta with a hit. Jason Hayward with a hit this area. So he is actually looking human tonight. Already 67 pitches through 5 innings. We'll see how long he stays in. Again, they're going to have to, rip him off the field. But looks like we had the makings of a classic down in Chicago, and who knows what happens tonight in at Citi Field in New York. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As always, we begin the week with the program always with the game of the week in the NFL Week 5. And certainly we had a number of games to choose from, as it was three overtime games and another one and a 1-point game with the Chicago Kansas City. But we will go to Cincinnati as the Bengals, not the Bungles, the Bengals improved to 5-0, 27-24 over the defending NFC champion Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks at one point in this game were up 24-7 in the fourth quarter. And it just shows you, you know, where Seattle's at right now. You could take both sides of the coin with this game. One, you know, this time last year or 2 years ago with Cincinnati, won a game like this, probably not. The other side that I'm going to take, though, is Seattle, which clearly is a notch below where they have been the last 2 years in particular. Now, that doesn't mean they can't win that division. That doesn't mean they can't get to the playoffs and be dangerous. But this is not the Seattle team. This is not a Super Bowl caliber team right now. This is not a team that can win a Super Bowl, or that, for that matter, that can even get to a Super Bowl right now. Seattle is built upon, they're all about their running game and defense. Yesterday, one of them showed up, and that was the running game. That was Thomas Rawls who had 169 yards rushing, filling in for a injured Marshawn Lynch. The defense is no longer what it once was. It's just not. It's very good, but it is no longer a shutdown defense that people fear. The fear factor of Seattle's defense, it has completely disappeared. I mean, a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, you could have, I mean, last year, a year before last, even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the game was over if Seattle had any type of lead going into the fourth quarter, let alone a double-digit lead. So that's what I took away from that game, that Seattle is not Seattle. Still very good team. Still a team that I think can possibly get to the playoffs, but they're not what they once were. Russell Wilson, again, took a beating, got sacked 4 times. He's on pace to get sacked about 70 times this year. So that offensive line has got to get fixed in order for them to move forward if they want to get back to where they once were. Cincinnati is, you know, again, it's unfair, but this, you know, when you've had this much disappointment in the playoffs, they're going to be gauged by their postseason. That's all there is to it. But this Cincinnati team does, you know, Andy Dalton looks better than he's ever looked. They are deep offensively. They are deep. I mean, they are as deep of an offensive team as there is in football. They have two quality running backs. They have an excellent tight end. They go 3-4 deep at the receiver position. Like, you can't just focus zero in on A.J. Green. Sure, you want zero on A.J. Green, they have Eifert. They have Sanu. They have Marvin Jones. Like, they have weapons, and Bernard can catch out the backfield. They have weapons all over the place offensively. Like, they'll, you know, they'll have their number two and three. They create matchup problems. You know, yeah, you can put Sherman against A.J. Green and take a chance with that. But number one, how many teams have a Richard Sherman type cornerback? Probably what, three or four? Revis, Sherman, Patrick Peterson, Aqib Talib. There are only about four or five of those top cornerbacks that can go one on one against the top receivers. But once you get past that number one cornerback, when they get into your second, third, fourth cornerbacks, they're gonna tear you apart. Because your second, third, and fourth quarterbacks cannot deal with Sanu, Jones, Eifert. They can't deal with them. I mean, Cam Chancellor, as great as he is, was, you know, he was toast in the secondary in coverage yesterday. I mean, they were lightning. He was getting lit up. Whether it was Eifert, whether it was Marvin Jones, or whoever. I mean, they were targeting Cam Chancellor in coverage. So, Cincinnati, again, a lot. Again, this is nothing new. Cincinnati's always had talent. I mean, they are, in terms of 1-53. They've been as deep of a team that there has been in the NFL for the last 2 or 3 years now. The difference is Andy Dalton is a different player. Like Andy Dalton has gotten he's gotten better. That's all. I mean, there's no way, there's no two ways about it. He's not the same quarterback he was last year or 2 years ago. He's not making as many mistakes. He's accurate. He's more accurate. Now, again, we'll see how that goes. You know, we'll see will that correlate, translate to the postseason. But as of right now, Andy Dalton is a much better. He's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback right now. So Cincinnati goes to 5-0. Seattle drops to 2-3. And at 27-24 in overtime, Seattle blowing a 17-point fourth quarter lead. When we return, we'll talk about today's headlines, the Redskins improving even in defeat, and much, much more in this last edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joel Quinn. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this last edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joel Quinn. 2-2 Chicago, St. Louis, bottom of the fifth. Walker is still on. He's also gave up a couple home runs, but for the most part has held the Cubs in check. The wind is blowing out of Chicago right now, so that, I mean, the balls are going to be flying. It is a night for the hitters. If you get a hold of one, chances are it has a good chance of going out. A couple of those home runs, that's like just the case in point with this one. This one looked like a routine flyout, and ends up going back all the way. Hayward, it ends up being driven back all the way to the warning track. So the ball is definitely flying out for the hitters. Unseasonably warm there. I heard that the game time temperature in Chicago was close to 70, which was the case down in D.C. today as well. It was about 70 degrees or so. Still might be 70 degrees right there outside right now. So the ball is definitely flying out, and I expect that it could be some more runs scored despite the presence of two top front-line pitchers like Arrieta and Walker, who, you know, a couple of years ago was dominant against the Dodgers in the postseason. Today we get today's headlines. Former USC coach Steve Sarkisian was fired just a couple of days after he was put on leave by AD Pat Hayden. Sarkisian, of course, struggled with alcohol abuse a couple months ago. He showed up to a function drunk, and apparently had mixed some of the alcohol with the medication. Certainly has a major problem with alcohol. A report came out today that this certainly was nothing new even before he got to USC, going back to his days at Washington, players, anonymous players came out with stories about how he would show up to work intoxicated, smelling of liquor, basically, 18 packs of Coors, and all kinds of stories came out about how, his abuse of alcohol, how much money he spent on certain trips that they would take his tabs and things of that nature. You know, Pat Hayden, everybody, wants to wonder what's wrong with USC sports, in particular the football program. And I just want to know when are fingers going to be started pointing at Pat Hayden? I mean, this is a second coach. I'm not even counting the basketball and baseball. I'm just talking about football. Second time that a coach has been fired mid-season. A couple of years ago, it was Lane Kiffin. Back in 2013, now you have Sarkisian. Again, I get the same criticism when I'm talking about the NBA with all these coaches getting fired, and the general managers, for whatever reason, seem to get a pass. I see the same situation here. You know, why is Pat Hayden getting a pass? I mean, he brought this guy in. I would have made him go. He would have had to sit down for the first couple of games after that situation back in August before the season started. Okay. Thinking all of a sudden that just a tough talk or is going to clear things up with Sarkisian in terms of his alcohol abuse. I mean, give me a break here. I mean, anybody knows anything about alcohol or addiction abuse? It just doesn't go. It doesn't go away overnight, especially coaching in a high pressure cooker, LA sports market, second largest market in the country, USC football, a pillar of college football. I mean, USC is right there with Michigan and Notre Dame, some of these great programs. As again, I told you folks, the ball is flying out. Another home run for the Cubs, two run shot for, I believe that was Chris Bryant, Chris Bryant, who will most certainly win Rookie of the Year. And he hadn't been doing anything this whole season. Two-run shot. Cubs go up 4-2. I think this probably will be the last inning for Walker. I mean, that's three home runs. Ball's flying out. You don't want to fall behind too many. You don't want to give up any more runs to Arrieta. You can't spot Arrieta another run here. So I wouldn't be surprised if he took him out. But, he got a hold of that. But that ball, listen, the ball is jumping out of the ballpark. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, the wind is definitely blowing out in Wrigley. And we all know, anybody knows anything about Wrigley Field, about baseball, that when the wind is blowing, that is Walker. That's going to be it for Walker. Again, no surprise. Like, you can't fall behind. You can't fall behind no more than two runs to Arrieta and hope to get three or four more runs off Arrieta. I mean, should be fortunate that they've gotten two off him. Just can't afford to give up any more runs. So St. Louis is going to go to his bullpen. One out, bottom of the fifth. Cubs are back on top, 4-2, after a Chris Bryant home run, two-run shot. Bryant breaking out of his postseason slump with a couple of hits tonight, and just jacked a two-run shot out of Wrigley. But getting back to Sarkisian, I mean, if Hayden really wanted to throw down the hammer, back in August, when he comes out there and embarrasses the program, embarrasses everybody, in front of, hundreds of people, that's when you sit him down. That's when you sit him down. I mean, he should have been suspended for a couple of games when that went down, when that happened. There's a report coming out that Chase Utley turned down a one-game suspension from Major League Baseball in regards to what happened, of course, on Saturday as he went into Ruben Tejada, as he slid, did a high slide on Ruben Tejada. Tejada, of course, broke his leg. Came out last night. Joe Torre came out last night, of course, and it was announced that he had received a two-game suspension. But now it's coming out that he was offered a one-game suspension by Major League Baseball but turned it down, and then Major League Baseball decided to give him a two-game suspension. Listen, we see one of these plays at least once a month. If Rumi Tejada had not suffered a deep broken leg, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. I mean, that's all there is to it. This was an emotional reaction to the injury of Rumi Tejada. These plays happen in baseball all the time. You see these plays all the time where a guy trying to, you know, avoid a double play takes out the shortstop, and or the middle infielder. It happens all the time in baseball. Chase Utley's been known for these types of slides. He's done this before. It's also been done to him by the Mets. So this is nothing new here. He was in the baseline, and if you want to say that he was targeting Tejada, Tejada spun his body towards Utley. Okay, which, and again, I'm not blaming Tejada, but that, you know, he spun his body where Utley was sliding. Was Utley trying to take Tejada out so he can avoid, so the double play wouldn't be able to execute the double play? Yes, because that's his job. That's his job. You want to call it a dirty play? I don't think it was a dirty play because I see it all the time. If you want to take it out of baseball, fine, take it out of baseball. But he should not have gotten suspended. You see, this happens at least once a month in baseball, sometimes once a week in baseball. These slides happen all the time. As the Cubs have hit another home run to go up 5-2, again, the ball is just flying out of Wrigley. Anthony Rizzo hits this one. The Cubs are loaded with young talent. They have as much young talent as any team in baseball. You know, Rizzo, Russell, Bryant, even Castro is still relatively young. They're going to be around for, and they had the perfect manager to kind of steer the ship for them. Cubs are up 5-2, one out, bottom of the fifth. The Cubs rookies have went off in this game with the long ball. So, you know, baseball, you know, Utley's getting suspended because Tejada has a broken leg. That's the bottom line. Now, Utley is eligible to play in this game. He will not start in this game, but you could see him in a big spot as a pinch hitter. I would not be surprised because he's hit the Mets well. He hits hard. He's had success against Harvey, over the course of his career. Florida quarterback Will Greer is suspended for a full year for testing positive for a PED, which is a shame for Florida because they were one of the surprise teams in all of college football, and it comes at the worst possible time as they will go into LSU for a showdown with undefeated LSU. Florida is ranked eighth, LSU's ranked sixth, so. Came at just a wrong time for Florida as they seem to be back on their way back. Them and Michigan have been the surprise stories of the college football season without question. But they're going to lose their star quarterback for at least a year, which, I mean, not only suspended for the rest of this year, he's going to be suspended for the first 5 weeks or six weeks of next season. So this comes, you know, if this came at the beginning of this season, he would be eligible to come back at the beginning of next season. But now he's going to be suspended probably for half of the 2016 season. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, a near upset down in Atlanta. We'll talk about the Redskins near miss. And much, much more in the league where no contract is guaranteed. That's coming up on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Still to come, Mets hosting the Dodgers coming up about around 8:30 or so. Cubs up 5-2 on the Cardinals as the Cubs have gone home run derby with, against the St. Louis pitching. Cubs trying to go up 2-1. Mets trying to go up 2-1. 2-1 as well. In their series, we're going to have 2 Game 5s on Wednesday. Kansas City and Toronto both forcing Game 5s. And, you know, the two favorites shining through. So, coming through. Toronto, listen, if you want to get into a scoring fest with Toronto, you're going to lose. I mean, you cannot, like, you can't get into a, I mean, you're not going to beat them. You're not going to outscore Toronto. Like, you're not going to win. You got to win games 4-3, 3-2. You got to win those types of games against Toronto. You're not winning these 8-5, 7-9-7 type games. They have too much offense. I mean, Tortilla Whiskey, a guy who had, he kind of gets lost because you have a Batista, a Donaldson, who's going to be the MVP, Encarnacion, guys like that. Tortu Whiskey is one of the best players in baseball when he's healthy. Just can't stay healthy for has a hard time playing 150 games. But that guy, you know, you see last night, that guy can still swing the bat at a high level, and you make a mistake, you know, the next thing, it goes from 2-0 to 5-0 in a blink of an eye. So they are so deep, Toronto, with the bats. Your best bet is getting them into a one-run situation, getting into a tight game. You're not winning these, you know, you're not going to win a home run contest with those guys. So they'll force a game 5. Kansas City doing what Kansas City does, you know, with these comebacks. They're never out of the game. You saw last year how many comebacks they had, how explosive their offense could be. With, you know, it's not just home runs, you know, single, double, single, triple with the speed. So Kansas City and Toronto both force a game 5. Washington Redskins go down 25-19 in overtime against Atlanta. A game that was certainly winnable, and again, you know, I'm not gonna say the Redskins should have won. Atlanta's a better football team right now, but what you saw out of the Redskins is something that you hadn't seen in years, that we haven't seen in years. I mean, 15, 20 years. That is resiliency. That is a team that, you know, is headed in the right direction. Even in defeat, you see some of the young players developing. You see a legitimate pass rush. And again, Kirk Cousins, easy to blame Kirk Cousins with the two interceptions. I can make a case that neither one of those interceptions was his fault. No, I'm not saying he played great, because he didn't. He was okay yesterday. He was just okay. But he did take him down the field. He did take him down the field to force overtime after Atlanta had scored to go up 19-16. Something that we never saw out of Robert Griffin III. And again, I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the season. Still a lot of football to be played. The Redskins hopefully are going to start getting some of these players back. Deshaun Jackson, DeAndre Hall, Chris Culliver. But I do, for the first time in a long time, I do see the ship going in the right direction. I do see some light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the Redskins. And I haven't been able to say that we got to go back to the early, late 80s, early 90s, and to be honest with you. You know, they have a nice core of talent. They have some draft picks that are producing. The offensive line has played well. They have a legitimate pass rush. Dustin Hopkins makes a 52-yard kick to tie the game. That doesn't happen last year or a couple of years ago, where a Redskin kicker makes a clutch kick. It just doesn't happen. Wouldn't happen. One thing the Redskins need to get a hold of, and Gruden's going to have to make a decision on this, is he's going to have to find a way to better navigate this running back situation. You can't rotate three running backs. It doesn't work. It just doesn't. I mean, two, yes. You would prefer to have one horse, but that's rare in today's NFL with the pounding that these guys take. So two is fine. You know, Chris Thompson, listen, and I like Chris Thompson. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a matchup nightmare in the past. Like, I would say, you know, make a choice between Jones and Morris and use Chris Thompson on third downs. I have no problem with that. But you have to make a choice between Morris or Jones as your primary back. Yeah, this rotating of two of three backs, it's not going to work out. And the guy who's getting hurt by this the most is Alfred Morris, who pound for pound is still your best back. He's still your best back. So, the Redskins, next couple games, they go to New York to play, take on the Jets. Again, Jets don't, for me, Jets don't have a quarterback, excellent defense, good running game, but they don't have a quarterback. And then they will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have some weapons that can hurt the Redskins. And even they have, you know, Doug Martin, Mike Evans, Vince Jackson, Jameis Winston, still making rookie mistakes, but still very dangerous with those weapons. Redskins can get to 4-3. And they have a bye week. They've been excellent shape, but you need to certainly take care of business coming up in New York against an improved Jets team with an excellent defensive running game. But again, overall, I see progress with the Washington Redskins. Overall, I mean, that's what I walked away from, despite the loss, thinking that hey, a couple of years last year, this could have been 34-10. Atlanta would have blown the tops off the Redskins, beat up secondary Julio Jones. Instead, the defense played great. You hold that team to 19 points in regulation on that field, that offense, you're doing something. Offensive line played well. Defensive line played well. So I see some, I see incremental improvement with the team. Now you just got to close out those games on the road. The Redskins need a big road win. Need a big road win. You've won two games. The two games they've won have been at home. Need to close the deal on the road, and they will have the opportunity come next Sunday against the New York Football Jets. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. 5-2 Cubs as they just ended the bottom of the fifth. Cubs are up 5-2. Three home runs. Rizzo, Bryant, and Castro have all homered to give the Cubs a 5-2 lead. We'll be right back. Thank you. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joel Quinn. Had a couple, having some technical issues with the connection here, so it's been kind of going in and out. Hopefully you bear with us as we get that taken care of. The NFL, you know, this is what you love about the NFL. You get it one of these days, and you looked at the schedule. The schedule was like, other than rooting for your favorite team, it wasn't too – and the Seattle-Cincinnati game was probably the one game you were looking forward to. But when you really look at the schedule, you didn't think much of the schedule. But when you have a 15 to 20 minutes like you had at the end of the 1 o'clock window where you have three overtime games, you know, the Washington, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Seattle, and then the Cleveland-Baltimore game, and then you have Chicago and Kansas City, that game on top of it, I mean, that's the NFL at its best. I mean, in terms of how some of these games, some of these wild finishes, last-second finishes, crazy comebacks. Now, the flip side is that the 4 o'clock window was a disaster, as none of those games were relatively competitive, with the exception of the Raider-Bronco game, and you never got the sense of the despite how close the game was, you never got the sense that the Raiders were going to win that game because of how dominant that the Bronco defense is right now. And I'll say this one thing about the Broncos. Any idea or any thought that Peyton Manning should be benched is insane. I mean, I know you. We understand that he's not the quarterback he once was, but let's not get crazy here. I mean, I've read some reports, read a couple of articles. Should Peyton Manning be back? Should be benched? I mean, for who? Really, for who? So that's just, you know, that's taking Peyton Manning. You know, that's taking the Peyton Manning falling off to a whole nother level, to a level that it just shouldn't be taken to. Speaking of bench quarterbacks, of course you saw Matthew Stafford get benched at halftime or after half in the third quarter of the Arizona game. Frankly, Jim Caldwell probably did Stafford a favor and said today that Stafford, is the quarterback moving forward. That game was, the Lions are just, they're the Lions. I mean, the Lions just can't, a team that just can't get out of its own way. I would not, if I'm the head coach of that team, I'm not benching Stafford. I don't care how bad it gets. He has to just fight through it. And I mean, 35-10. Listen, 35-10 in the third quarter of an NFL game, we've seen crazier things happen as far as comebacks goes. It wasn't going to happen last night, yesterday, but we've seen crazy things happen as Jason Hayward has just homered to cut the lead to one. It is now 5-4 Cubs, yet another home run, the fourth home run of the evening between the two teams. Jason Hayward, who's been swinging the ball, swinging the bat well in this particular game, homers off Arrieta. I wonder if that would be the last batter that Arrieta sees. And really has Arrieta's number. He's got some great swings off Arrieta over the course of the evening. So, wonder if they'll let Arrieta finish out this inning before they get to the bullpen. We'll see what happens with that. But it's cut the lead to 5-4. The Cub lead to 5-4 with no outs, top of the sixth inning. But, if I'm Caldwell, I'm not taking Stafford out. You're gonna fight through this game. If you take a beating, you take a beating. We're gonna run our offense. We're gonna do. I'm not letting you off the hook. And from what I understand, Stafford came out and said this today that he was told by Caldwell that if he threw another interception, then he was gonna take him out. And he might as well took him at that point. He might as well just took him out because there was. As soon as you say something like that, he's going to throw another interception. I mean, you can't put that into your quarterback's head that, don't do this. And I like telling the kid, don't touch the stove. And, hey, okay, you tell them not to touch the stove. They're going to touch the stove just because. So So we had that going on in the NFL yesterday. You have six, count them, six undefeated teams, 4 5-0 teams. The top of the NFL are just beating up on the bottom feeders. That's what that tells me. So you had that going on. You had that going on with the NFL. One last thing before we wrap up the program. I hear a lot of fans, a lot of New York Giant fans complain about Eli Manning. You know, Eli throws too many interceptions. You know, he's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Ben Roethlisberger. He's not this, he's not that, and so on and so on. And you look at the landscape of quarterbacking in the NFL, and my message to Giant fans would be, shut the hell up. I mean, you're complaining about a guy who has started 171 straight games, okay, 171 straight games, has not missed a start his entire career, two-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, has 28 come from behind, fourth quarter comebacks, come from behind, game-winning drives, okay. Is he perfect? No. But look, I mean, look what, but look at the quarterbacking landscape right now. You have people in Dallas screaming for Matt Castle. That's where quarterback is at right now. I mean, Josh McCown's played great for Cleveland, but he's still Josh McCown. You know, as a Redskin fan, Kirk Cousins has been okay, but he has a ceiling. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I can go on and on and on about how many average to mediocre quarterbacks there are in the NFL, let alone guys with multiple Super Bowl rings and multiple Super Bowl MVPs and guys who don't get hurt. I mean, think about what Cincinnati would be if Carson Palmer stayed healthy his entire career and never got injured. Think about that. So before you start complaining and whining about what Eli is not, go through the rosters and look at these quarterbacks across the NFL, and then come back and we'll have a conversation. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 12/11 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. I will see you next time. Enjoy the games. Have a great, great evening. So long.